Good morning. I call House Special Committee on Fisheries to order. Today is Tuesday, April 30th, 2024, and the time is 10:10 a.m. We are meeting in the Max Grunberg Committee Room 120 in the Capitol Building here in Juneau. I ask that you please silence your cell phones. The staff assisting us today is, I apologize, it's not Shelby, and Cheryl with the House Records. The following members present is Representative Hemshoot, Representative Carpenter, Representative Stutes, Representative McCabe, and myself, Chair Vance, and we have a quorum to conduct business. We have two items on today's calendar, and that is to consider the governor's appointee to the Commercial Fisheries Commission, Commercial Fisheries Entry Commission, Mr. Mike Baccaro, and then to bring back House Resolution 8, Fisheries Bycatch Resolutions. So first up, we are going to hear from the governor's appointee to CFEC, Mr. Mike Baccaro. He's joining us online. If you could please state your name for the record and begin telling us who you are and how you would be a good fit as a CFEC commissioner. Welcome, Mr. Baccaro.
Well, thank you, Chair Vance. I appreciate the opportunity. My name is Mike Baccaro. For the record, I've lived in Alaska since 1970. Raised kids here. I'm still married to the same woman after 52 years. I don't know how that's possible for her. And built a business, quite a business, actually. It was an advertising and public relations business, which not only had offices in Anchorage, but also in Vancouver, British Columbia, and in New York. I have been here a long time. I have helped build a state. I have been involved in the broadcasting industry for a lot of the time. In fact, some of the actual radio stations that put out information about fish and about fishing are radio stations that I was responsible, at least partly responsible, in putting on the air. And I'll give you just a couple of examples, KMXC in Kodiak, KDLG in Dillingham, and bunch of stations in southeast Alaska as well. My skills range all over the place, actually. I think with my broad knowledge of Alaska, my understanding of the people of the state, my love for the state, and the fact that this is home to me, gives me a unique qualification. Also, I'd like to point out that I don't have any preconceived ideas or notions or alliances, and what you'd get from me is absolute fairness, honesty, and 110% all the time. That's who I am. Since I've been appointed by the governor, I guess they tossed me into the deep end of the ocean because we've had a number of things to do. We've cleared up a whole bunch of backlog of cases that had been filed with the commission, a lot of these emergency transfers, appeals, etc. I've attended a couple of public meetings for Prince William Sound pod fishery. We've decided, after doing a survey, to limit that. And right now we're currently in regulation to determine what it is we're doing and how we're going to do it. And I've suggested to my fellow commissioner that we not only show people what we're doing, but we try to put out a tutorial or at least have even a public meeting to try to explain what's actually going on. And as a lot of you know on this, just because you've decided to limit a fishery doesn't necessarily mean it's going to happen. It's a process, and that's kind of the process we're in right now. I've attended the Board of Fish meeting, also had an opportunity to go and talk to the nice people over at UFA. One of the highlights for me was attending the Young Alaska Fishermen's Summit in Anchorage in December, where a lot of folks from rural Alaska were here, and I was struck by their love for fishing and the fact that it is such a part of their culture. It was truly invigorating for me to see that. We've also been involved in IT upgrades. We were on a system that I believe was 30 years old And the language it spoke was like no language, I guess, is spoken now. And so we were trying to upgrade that. We lost four people from that department, and so we're rebuilding that. We are trying to modernize. We're trying to go from the embossed cards to a more modern card for fish landings, etc. We are looking to do, I guess, bigger and better things in terms of efficiency and communication with the public. One of the things that I wanted to bring up is the fact that we do have every single piece of paper that the Commission's ever had since it began. And it's great that we have it, but I think we need to digitize some of it and store it in a more secure way, because right now it's costing the state of Alaska $20,000 a year to store this paper material. So that would be another thing I'm just threw out there, just because I thought it would be of something of interest. But that's kind of what I'm about, who I am, what I do. I am really, really, really thankful for the opportunity to serve my state. This is a fascinating job. As you all know, fishing is enormous. It's a $6 billion impact on Alaska. And we're also right now, even though that's not part of the commission's assignment, in a situation where the legislature has taken it upon itself to try to do something to try to help our fishing fleet. And I guess I would say, if asked to help, and if I could help in any way, I'm happy to throw in whatever ideas or whatever observations that I would have. But today, my job here is to tell you who I am, what I do, why I do it better than I think anyone else could do it, and answer your questions. So with that, I'll be quiet and listen to what you folks have to say.
Thank you, Mr. Picaro. I know you from radio. Not everyone is familiar with you, knows you like some of us do, and I'm going to admit that I love you as a radio host, as someone who engages in that way. But when you were appointed as a CFEC commissioner, I was shocked, and I was a little upset that it was not someone who had prior commercial fishing experience. But I've been impressed with how you have just dove right into this role and learned and really engaged in a very meaningful way. And you've been spoken well of by Glenn Haight, and that itself is an honor, and because he is well respected. So with that, can you just share with the committee some of your first assignments that you were given as a new commissioner? There was a lot of question around you taking this role and the salary involved. And, can you just speak to the record of the arrangement that you and Commissioner Haight made at the beginning to address some of those concerns by the public, and really what he had you get involved with to be able to learn the role?
Commissioner has been a tremendous teacher and mentor and friend, and I have the greatest respect for him, and I think we're very fortunate to have him as chair of this commission. He wanted to get me involved as deeply and as quickly as possible, and one of the things he did was to get me involved in the cards, to change from the embossed card to the more modern card. Another thing that he got me involved in was in the adjudications area of emergency transfers. And we have had a quite an interesting situation. There have been, I would say, several cases over this past year that have given us cause and pause to think. There have been a couple of transfers that have been, we've been asked to transfer licenses to kids 5 years old, 10 years old, 8 years old. It all depends upon a number of things, obviously. There are standards, But there's also a part of the act which says that if a kid is able to handle something, then they should be considered. I think if you're 5 years old, I have a problem. If you're, you know, if you're just basically doing something safe or what have you, and you're with the family, that's really something that I think should be the business of the family. But for us to start granting permits for large craft or dangerous craft to five-year-olds, I think we got a problem. So what we decided to do was, rather than tell people what they should be doing or how they should be doing it, was ask them. And we sent out a fleet memo asking the fleet, what do you think? How old should kids be before they're able to do certain things? And we were astonished at how close our thoughts and their thoughts were. Basically, 16 to 18 seemed to come in as the number. And obviously, there are exceptions, and there are times when a kid has grown up on a boat and knows more about boats than anybody else, and is strong and can handle things, and has a good mind, and is able to follow the regulations. That's great, and we take that into consideration, and we hear that. One of the things, Chairman, that I worry about is if a child or a young person gets involved in a violation, and we're talking law here, obviously the troopers, that violation can stay on the record. And that's something I wish to see no young person have to deal with. So that's kind of the things that that Commissioner Haight had me involved in. He wanted me to get involved in as many different things and meet as many different people, and took me to the Board of Fish, and I got a chance to renew acquaintances with John Wood. And he wanted to just get me involved in as many different aspects as possible, and hopefully see some success.
Thank you, Mr. Picaro. Can you speak to some of the salary concerns that came out at the beginning of your position and the hours involved?
Well, my salary concerns are interesting. I guess I've always been the kind of a person that earns his money. When I first took the position, I think my salary for that month was, $1,800 or something of that nature. You guys can check that for accuracy. And I just put down the number of hours that I needed to do what I was trying to do, to come up to speed, to learn what was going on, and to acquaint myself with things. As we move forward, and I was putting in full days and sometimes full afternoons after my radio show, those were logged accurately and honestly as time to work. But basically, the way it works with me is the way it works with any state employee. If you work, you should get paid. If you don't work, you shouldn't get paid. You have leave, which you can take, and when your leave is exhausted, you're done. Just recently, and I still have it, I have quite a bad case of sepsis, and I was in the hospital and kind of out of action for about a month, and obviously used all the leave and then some for my salary. So essentially, the state of Alaska wasn't paying me for not doing any work. As far as the way the salary was written and told to me, that was the salary. If you do the work, you put in the time. If you don't do the work, you put in the time you put in.
Thank you, Mr. Picaro. I'm now going to open up to questions from committee members. Representative Stutes.
Thank you. And thank you, Mr. Picaro, for stepping up to the plate and helping us out there at the CFEC. how long have you been working there?
Since August the 9th.
follow up, Madam Chair? Thank you. And I heard you, and I heard mentioned that you have a radio show, and it's in the morning. Are you planning on continuing with your radio show? So you would essentially have two jobs? Is that right?
Well, my radio show is in the afternoon from 3 to 6, at least it was. I was doing both. I'd get up, and I had an arrangement where I would check in early, where I start my day earlier than anyone else, and then my day would end at 3, and then I would go into my radio show. But since my illness, my radio show has been put on hold, and I'm thinking about maybe just doing an hour at 5 o'clock, and that's pretty much, I think, all that I can do, and my time, I guess, would be devoted to working for CFEC as opposed to working for radio. And if I do more with radio, it would be, I think, in the area of podcasting or something of that nature. I've done it for 25 years, and I've received a lot of very kind things from people missing me. But I think there's a point sometimes where either I'm out of things to say, believe it or not, or time to do some different things. And I've got to tell you, with all honesty, I really am enjoying this job.
Thank you. Well, that's great to hear. It's always nice to do something that you enjoy doing and get paid for it as well. And I heard you, when you were speaking initially, you spoke about clearing up a lot of cases. I was under the impression there wasn't a great backlog. Are those just more recent applications in license transfers? Or
yeah, there's some new ones. We've also lost a hearing officer and a law specialist. And so you can imagine that that's going to cause a bit of a backlog as we move forward. So, that's where we are. We have not had a case to clear up, I would say, in the past couple of months, and it's due to the fact that we right now, I think, are 5 positions down.
Follow up.
Thank you, Madam Chair. So you're currently current on the cases? Is that what you're saying?
Yes, as far as I know, we are. There may be one coming back that is going to be extremely similar to one that we did last year, but we lost our law specialist on that, and so I don't know where that is. It's something that Commissioner Hayden and I are going to have to check, along with our executive director, Shondi Perry, who, by the way, is a find. We're so delighted with her.
Well, follow up. Thank you. That's great to hear. And I know that with Glenn Haight, you have an excellent mentor. He is really well respected and well thought of. So congratulations on moving forward. And I'm happy to hear you're enjoying the job. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Any further questions from committee members? Representative Hemshoop.
Thank you, Chair Vance, through the chair. Mr. Porcaro, I'm glad you're, I don't know if you're restored to full health, but you're on the mend. So that's really good news.
Thank you.
Can you just describe what a day looks like for you at CFEC?
Okay. I was going to say, it's probably much like a legislative day, Representative. It usually starts out with going through a number of memos that we've received from our executive director, some from Commissioner Haight, some from Mr. Johnson, and whomever else has something that they'd like to say. We schedule our meetings on Wednesdays to kind of go over everything. But usually there is there's a period of time that requires a good deal of reading and catching up with things that we are doing. And one of the things right now is obviously trying to put together a scoring system, if you will, for this Prince William Sound shrimp pot fishery limitation. And there really is no template for it. So we're kind of creating something out of whole cloth. Hopefully it works, and then it has to obviously go through all the legal hoops. But right now, those are the kinds of things that we're doing.
Follow up. Thank you. Through the chair. Yeah, I'm about 20 years younger than you, and I can't keep up with my days. So you're doing that, and you're managing businesses in New York and Vancouver, and you're doing a radio show. So I could see why you're looking at maybe adjusting that radio show a little bit. Sounds like a heavy load.
Yes, and someday the wonderful woman that I'm married to said, we need to go and maybe just grow grapes or something.
Married to for 50 years, which I also find very impressive.
Thank you.
Follow up.
Thank you, Chair Vance. Through the chair, Mr. Picaro, where are you working? Are you in the CFEC office here in Juneau?
No. I am working remotely out of my home, and I am available, obviously, phone. We do our Zoom calls or our team calls. And whenever I'm needed, people know how to reach me. And if I'm necessarily needed down there, I'm happy to go. I think we'd probably get more work done without me, but I'm happy to do whatever. But I am working out of my home in Anchorage, which makes it a little easier for a guy 75.
Uh-huh. Follow up.
Thank you, Chair Vance. Through the chair. Mr. Percaro, you don't have a background in fisheries. Why do you think the governor picked you? Like, I read up a little bit, and I'm curious what you think.
That's a really good question. I was shocked. I didn't ask for the job, by the way, just so that people know. What would I even ask for? See, that would be the first question. I think the governor is looking for somebody who has broad experience in Alaska, who has lived here a long time, who is invested heavily in Alaska, not only in terms of money, but in terms of heart and soul and sweat, and somebody who he believes can be fair and render honorable and straightforward decisions. I'm not suggesting that people are in any way wouldn't do that, but I believe he sees that in me, and I'm honored that he does.
Follow up.
Thank you, Chair Vance. My next question, I'm not quite sure how to ask this, so I'm just going to ask. I admire your longevity in Alaska and your broad experience. You're obviously very devoted to the state, and I think I've heard a lot about you really digging in to understand the role of the CFEC and help get them up to speed, especially in the IT department. That's all great stuff. I guess I just have to ask you, though, about the Red Pen campaign. Can you tell us about that?
Well, you have a situation where you have a radio show and you have an audience and your audience feels a certain way. As far as the Red campaign was concerned, I think it kind of took on more of a life of its own. Our basic philosophy there was to say, if it can be trimmed, let's do it as efficiently as possible. And it ended up with us giving the governor a gigantic, I don't know if he even still has it, inflatable red pen, which I'm sure he doesn't use. I think he maybe wanted to hit us with it. But that was it. And all of the other things that we do politically, if you're worried about that kind of stuff now, I would say don't. I'm kind of in a different mode and in a different stage of life. But part of my job on the radio is also to get ratings. and it got ratings. And I also invite people from different parties and different thoughts to come on the show and talk to me. In fact, I've got to tell you, one of the people that I actually really enjoy having on the show is Senator Wilikowski. And the senator and I don't necessarily agree on a lot of stuff, but we do on some things. And he has always been a gentleman. I've always tried to treat him the same way because that's how I feel about him. And I think anybody that's been on the show, I've treated with respect. And I want to hear from people. I want to. That's part, I think, of good communication is to hear from other people. But that was our thing. We did what we did. We thought it was the right thing to do at the time. And I won't send you a red pen.
Yeah. Thank you for your time, Mr. Picaro. One last
follow-up, Representative Himshue.
Thank you. I guess I just wanted to make a comment that, it was eye-catching, the red pen campaign. So it was definitely noticed. And I think a lot of us agree with you. If we can be careful with the state's dollars, it's what we need to do. So I appreciate your willingness to serve. Thank you.
Thank you.
Representative McCabe.
Thanks, Mr. Picaro. So personally, as one who mailed several boxes of red pens to the legislature, I don't think you have anything to apologize for to convince people and the governor and the legislature to be more fiscally responsible with other people's money. So I would hope that you would do the same thing on the CFEC if it ever comes to your in your purview, and I for one appreciate it. I did mail
Thank
a
you.
Bunch of red pens.
Yes, you did.
Well, maybe I will send you a red pen in that case.
Any further questions, Representative Carpenter?
Thank you, Madam Chair, through the chair. It's strange to be having Mr. Picaro calling into our show today.
You've been kind. You've been kind to me, Representative Carpenter. Thank you.
So my question concerning data, and I know you've been there for just a short period of time. Mm-hmm. Has there been a request for data from individuals or organizations, or have you or the organization, the commission, recognized maybe where data is lacking, and how we could address that?
Well, we have talked to a private vendor, and we have requested, and I believe the governor's office has agreed with that, and I think and I cannot remember which hearing it was that Commissioner Haight went to, that the legislature also thought it was a good idea. We've asked for $150,000 a year for 4 years to upgrade everything that we have. So hopefully that will do the job.
Follow-up, Representative Carpenter.
That's good. Thank you.
Representative Stutes.
Thank you. Thank you again, Madam Chair. Mr. Picaro, help me understand how you work from home in this job. That was a little perplexing to me.
Okay, well, pretty much the way anybody would work in an office. I'm on the phone, I email, I text. We basically communicate back and forth. I probably talk to people more sometimes not being physically present than being physically present. This has been, I guess, since COVID, I think it's been a new wave of the future, and there's a lot of different agencies, even part of the state, that do this kind of thing. And right now, we're kind of working remotely between us, which seems to be effective and working.
Thank you. So it doesn't impair or hamper resolving cases then, apparently.
Oh, no.
As you can tell, I've never had the pleasure of working from home, so it's a little bit more difficult for me to understand, but it is an interesting thought. So I appreciate that.
Well, thank you. And for instance, when we do have a case, there's a written record, so I get the written record. There's also an oral record, so I get that as well, so I can read and I can listen. And then we will have our adjudication meeting, and that will be on Teams call, where we all see each other and talk to each other. And that's how it works. And I got to tell you, it doesn't, outside of the fact that I miss something called cake time, I think it works.
Follow up?
No, I just appreciate that, helping me understand that a little bit better. Thank you.
Representative Hemshute.
Quick follow up. Thank you, through the chair. What is cake time?
Cake time apparently happens on Thursdays, where someone in the office brings in some treats, and over the lunch hour, people have an opportunity to sit back and have some cake. So I guess I'll just have to see if I can get some Hostess cupcakes and join them.
Representative Stutz.
Just to follow up on that thought, is that open to your legislators?
Representative, if you'd like cake, I'm sure we can arrange it.
I think you've started something new. We're going to have cake time. Well, thank you, Mr. Beccaro. You know, I've heard good things about you in the commission, and appreciate your willingness to serve in a new area. And you've provided a good engagement here for the members of Fishery Committee. And want to thank you for being available today. I'm now going to open public testimony on the appointment of Mr. Beccaro. Is there anyone in the room who would like to testify on the appointment? Seeing none, I do not believe that there is anyone available online either. So I'm going to close public testimony on Mr. Beccaro. For those watching online who wanted an opportunity, you can send your written testimony to house.fisheries@akleg.gov, and it will be uploaded to the public record. So thank you again, Mr. Beccaro, for being available and for the work that you have done. So in accordance with AS 39.05.080, the House Special Committee on Fisheries has reviewed the following and recommends the appointment to be forwarded to a joint session for consideration. Commercial Fisheries Entry Commission, Mike Beccaro. And we will take a brief at ease to sign the report. For our second and final agenda item today, we will now bring back House Resolution 8, Fisheries Bycatch Resolutions, by myself in its third hearing. There is a new committee substitute before the committee for its consideration. Representative McKay, may I have a motion?
Yep, if I could find it, you certainly could.
Next page.
This one?
This one.
Oh, there you go. Madam Chair, I move that the committee adopt CS for HR 8 version 33-LS0731/Sierra as our committee's new working document.
Object for discussion.
There has been an objection. So this, as I mentioned before, the previous version of House Resolution 8 focused on bycatch utilization. And after engaging with the public and the Bycatch Advisory Council, reflecting that utilization was not feasible at this time and is a direction that the people do not want to go, I have removed all of the language regarding utilization. And I have drafted, I removed all of the language regarding utilization, and the first half of the whereases were previously in the document. So if you look on page 2, starting on line 15, is where the new language begins. And it focuses on the recommendations from the Bycatch Advisory Council in a broad form. So it recommends that a bycatch policy be adopted, and that would include state engagement, research, and management. So this does focus on just kind of that broad stroke of what we feel the commissioner and the positions on the North Pacific Management Council can do in adopting a state bycatch policy, because we have yet to see that. So after further conversation with Linda Kozak and Representative Stutes, I do have one conceptual amendment, because if you look on page 3 under the further resolved, it talks about including regulations that provide for real-time genetic reporting on the composition of Western Alaska salmon, and that's on line 9. And that technology is not quite available. They're working on it. So if everyone is caught up with that and would indulge me, I would like to make a conceptual amendment, number 1, to delete the word real-time genetic. Any objections?
Object.
There is an objection. Representative McCabe. So my conceptual amendment is just to strike out real-time genetic, and it would read, include regulations that provide for reporting on the composition of Western Alaska. So Representative McCabe.
Thank you, Chair Vance. So I'm curious, why remove the word genetic? Why not just remove real-time? Because the real-time is the piece that's missing or not completely developed yet, but they can still do genetic reporting. So I'm curious why the full Monty instead of just the real-time part.
Well, I can remove and restate my.
I mean, at the end of the day, thanks, Madam Chair. I don't think it really matters, because the reporting is going to happen anyways. Will likely include genetic, but I don't know. It's a big thing that we're struggling with the finding it, and it's something that the department says is. Part of the bigger issue is that the Russian hatchery or Asian hatchery fish are invading sort of our bio, the feed grounds for our salmon. So personally, I think we ought to put a bounty on them. But,
Representative Stutes.
I think that in order to provide for reporting on the composition, it is going to be genetic reporting. So, I think that 6 of 1, half a dozen of the other, but I think that we give them a little more latitude by taking out real-time genetic, because the real-time is absolute genetics.
Okay. Representative Carpenter.
So, Madam Chair, we're not talking about legislation here that's changing statute. We're talking about a resolution, which is speaking to purpose and recommendations, right? So if real-time genetic reporting is not currently available because of technology, but will someday in the future be available, then it seems like it would be appropriate to keep it in the resolution, highlighting that at least in this current year, in this current legislature, we acknowledge that it is important. We would like to get there. And all we're asking is that the department adopt regulations implementing that, and if they're not able to technologically now, then that becomes part of their regulation. If they can prepare themselves for it, then that's the best that they can do. It's not like we're actually telling them they have to. It's only a resolution. It's a lofty, aspiring statement by the legislature. So I'm ambivalent as to whether it stays or goes, but I see the value of keeping it in there.
Representative Stutes.
I see no value in keeping it in there. We know that it's not available. I don't feel comfortable in sending a resolution asking them to do something that we know is not currently possible to do. I don't support leaving it in there at all. I think that your conceptual amendment is a really a good one. I think it still allows us to get the composition. And as you said, Representative Carpenter, it's just a resolution. If we need to, once we get the full bycatch task group report, we might want to do a resolution that contains other items as well. So we can always include it if they have figured out how to complete the real-time genetic testing at that time.
Well, I with this dialogue, I would like to amend my conceptual amendment number 1 to only strike out the word real-time on line number 9. Is there any objection to that?
I object.
You object, Representative Stutes.
I object. I just don't think that – I think that the only way they're going to provide for it is genetics. We're asking them to provide reporting on the composition of the Western Alaska salmon. Leaving genetics in there is just redundant.
Okay. I apologize. I misunderstood your recommendation, but Representative Carpenter –
I was just going to clarify what just got clarified. So,
I have amended my conceptual amendment to remove the word real time. And there is an objection. What I'm seeking here is just that the wording can be smooth and understandable to communicate to the commissioner what it is that we're trying to do. We want them to do the best reporting possible for Western Alaskan salmon that's possible. If the technology isn't there, then that's understandable, but they can still do genetic reporting is my understanding. Representative Stutes.
That's the only way they're going to be able to do it under the way this is written.
Representative Hemshoop.
Thank you, Chair Vance. I'm just wondering, at first I thought, well, why take it out? But now I'm thinking, are there other types of reporting like this many chum and this many Chinook that doesn't require genetic that we also need? So maybe taking all of it out assumes that they'll do the reporting they need to do, including genetic and whatever else. So I'm kind of on the fence here because I see the value in keeping genetic, I also can see why it's not needed. So I'm not helpful.
Representative Carpenter.
In the interest of time, I will not object to removing real time. I think in keeping genetic just modifies reporting and is a little bit more specific and think that that is the right way to go. And would hope that we not spend another 10 minutes debating.
My apologies for not having this clarified before introducing the CS, but here we are. Representative Stutes, do you maintain your objection on deleting the word real time?
I'll remove my objection.
Okay.
For the sake of time.
So, conceptual amendment number 1 to delete the words real time has been adopted. Is there any more conversation on the conceptual of the CS? Representative McCabe.
Madam Chair, I move that the House Special Committee on Fisheries move CS for HR8 version 33-LS0731/Sierra from committee with the attached zero fiscal notes and give zero fiscal notes and amendments and give legislative legal services permission to make any technical and conforming changes necessary.
Object. There is an objection. Representative Hemshoop.
I'm actually concerned on that final further resolved. We're talking about federally managed fisheries, and I'm trying to understand the intersection between our state bycatch policy and the federal managers. We don't really get to say what happens, so I need to understand better how this works.
So Representative Hemshute, at the beginning of the resolution, it talks about the state having a majority of 6 seats on the 11-member North Pacific Fishery Management Council, and that the commissioner and designees have incredible voice on that management council. And so this resolution is not only encouraging that commissioner to utilize his position in the state, but also their influence on the council regarding bycatch on the behalf of Alaskans. So that's the intersection that you see there. Does that make more sense?
Yes. Okay, yeah, I'll just withdraw my objection.
So the objection has been withdrawn. Hearing no further objection, House Resolution 8 has been adopted and moved from committee, and I would ask the members stay afterwards to sign the report. So that concludes our business for today. The House Special on Committee on Fisheries has concluded its business for the second session in the 33rd Legislature. And I want to thank all the members and their staff, as well as the LIO. Doug, for the record, thank you. And Cheryl, in all of the long hours that y'all have put in and making this committee productive. It feels like we went really quickly this session. We had a lot of floor sessions take a lot of our committee time. I would have loved to dig into more research on behalf of the people and giving us an understanding, but I hope that we can continue in the next legislature to dig into that concern of the people. Seeing there is no other business before the committee, we will adjourn. Let the record reflect, it's 10:58 a.m.